Another clean sweep. Oh, Joe can throw, and so go the Tigers. The Cajuns just eat it up on the ground. And the Saints got a little bit of help from everybody to shock the NFL and the Seahawks with a win in the great Pacific Northwest. We got you covered from coast to coast. It's a happy day today, Monday, September 23rd, 2019.
Burrow backpedaling. Again, lofts up the fade, right corner, over the shoulder catch. Jamar Chase has it for a touchdown. Beautiful throw and a great reception by Jamar Chase.
Saints fourth and goal. Ball at the 6-inch line. Teddy Bridgewater under center.
Bully play.
Four receivers to the left. Kamara in motion. Quick throw, Mike Thomas. Boom, across the goal line. Mike Thomas for the touchdown, and the Saints take a 26-7 lead.
Fakes a handoff to Gallman. Sets, delivers one right. He's got Ingram on the run. He steps out of a tackle across midfield to the 45, down the left sideline to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants, 75 yards. Catch and run to Evan Ingram. The longest catch of his career.
The 10th play of this opening drive. They're 3-for-8 on third down. This a third and goal at the 11-yard line. Three receivers will go to the right. Single receiver in the slot left is Kupp. Goff in the gun. Browns rush 5. Now drop one more. They throw it to the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown. Cooper Kupp running along the goal line from right to left and just tiptoes in that near left sideline to score 6 and give the Rams a 9-6 lead.
I don't care about the Rams. I don't care about the Giants. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat talking about beating them Saints? The Cajuns and the Tigers all getting it done. A great good afternoon. Happy Monday to you and yours. LSU gets off the schneid and gets a 66-38 win over Vandy. Everybody's complaining about the defense. Well, you know what? Listen to the numbers and you tell me. It's a new day. It's a different day. It's just the way it is. LSU nationally, number one offense in scoring the ball, number one in red zone conversions, number one in completing percentage. In the country, they're second in passing offense, second in pass plays of 20 or more yards. They're fourth in the QBR, fifth in total offense, ninth in third down conversions. Joe Burrow now has jumped up to number 2 in the Heisman odds at the Westgate Superbook. He opened at 200-1. On September 3rd, he was 25-1. On September 16th, he was 9-2. And today, he is now 7-2. And listen to this number. LSU has scored 224 points in their first four games. Those 224 points are the most of any team in SEC history through their first four games. That's Peyton Manning in Tennessee. That's the great Steve Spurrier, Danny Werfel teams. Think about it. In the history of the SEC, no team has scored as many points as LSU has in their first four games, 224. It's a remarkable. I never thought I'd ever see it, but I'm glad that I am because it has been absolutely spectacular. And when the Tigers win, boy, do they travel. And Coach O talked about the Tigers taking over Nashville.
Seemed like 31,000. For sure. I was so happy when we came through our Tiger Walk on the road. I mean, the guys were waiting for us. It meant a lot to us. And when they start screaming LSU, it seemed like we took over the stadium. I was proud of our fan base. I'm glad they showed up for us today.
They were there. Okay. Offense, no trouble. Defense, eh. And it all starts with the basic fundamentals of tackling. And Coach O sounded off on that after another dominating win.
No, we're not happy at all. You know, there's a you know, the first drive, we have a guy playing a four technique. He's got the B gap. He jumps into A gap. We got a three technique. He jumps into A gap, goes into B gap. So that had nothing to do with the offense. They run a bubble screen. We miss a tackle. That has nothing to do with the offense. So we can't make any excuses. It's about tackling, blocking and tackling and fitting our gaps and hopefully getting some guys healthy. We need to get Kelvon Chasson healthy. We need to get Rashard Lawrence healthy. We need to get Glenn Logan healthy. We're basically playing with our second team being out there right now.
No question. Got to get them healthy. But you get a scholarship to LSU, you got to be better than that. The Tigers had Sunday off. They've got today off. They get back to work Tuesday. And when they start on Tuesday, Coach O said they're going to emphasize this.
Yeah, there's some different drills I'm going to start doing in practice that I talked to Dave about. There are some specific stuff that we have to get better at, especially in the open field tackle. We knew this running back was pretty good. For the most part, I thought we tackled him okay. The open field tackle is the one that we're missing. So we have to do more open field tackling drills live, and it'll start next week.
66-38. Tigers have an open date next time they play October 5th against Utah State. And much to the chagrin of LSU fans, it's an 11 a.m. kickoff. That's right, Saturday, October 5th, 11 a.m. But who cares? You just want to go watch Joe throw. And Burrow set his own LSU record for touchdown passes in a game with six. He completed 25 of 34 passes for 398 yards. He set another LSU record for passing yards and a half with 357 on 18 of 24 passing by halftime. And he found his favorite receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, who caught seven of the 18 for 199 yards and three touchdowns as LSU led it 38-17. It was over from the very beginning. And Joe Burrow says, I told you we could score 40, 50, 60. He thinks they can do this every game.
We're starting to see that, you know, we can do this every game against every team. This is who we are as an offense. We're going to go try to score every time. We're going to throw the ball around, and we're going to throw it to open up the run. So I'm happy with where we are right now.
Lost Terrace Marshall. Poor kid got a fractured foot. He's going to miss some time. He was being terrific. Justin Jefferson's been very consistent. This was Ja'Marr Chase's breakout game. Four touchdown receptions, and the guy that threw it to him talked about him.
Yeah, that's one of the better performances I've seen. Nobody could cover him all day, and he was getting open on just about every play. So I was happy for him to have that kind of game.
Meanwhile, the Raging Cajuns, I was dead wrong. I thought it was going to be a tough place to play. I picked the Bobcats to win. I'm so glad I was wrong. The Raging Cajuns win it 45-25 over Ohio. They score 35 in the second half. Trey Regis with 129 yards on the ground. They force five turnovers, three interceptions, two fumble recoveries, and Elijah Mitchell with 148 yards on the ground. He was the bell cow. And today, Billy Napier talked about his workhorse.
Eli's had great off-season. You know, it's good to see him have the production that he had, you know. First significant off-season that he's had. He's banged up a little bit throughout his career early. So you can see the finishing speed, the physicality, the strength. You know, we probably, all these guys, they get attention as a group. You know, it'd be interesting to see if we just had one of these guys, what they could do.
Meanwhile, the New Orleans, next up for the Raging Cajuns, they will open up conference play. They'll be on the road again. Georgia Southern, the team that LSU faced in their season opener and won 55-3. Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns will head to Georgia, and they'll take on Georgia Southern 5 p.m. this Saturday, trying to keep this win streak alive. Well, the New Orleans Saints, wow. I got to tell you, I didn't see it coming. Not like this, but they were some kind of good. Teddy Bridgewater did his part. The defense came up with big plays, a little fumble recovery, scoop and score. And special teams got it done as well. Deontay Harris with a punt return for a touchdown. And Thomas Morstead was absolutely incredible, pinning Seattle inside the five twice with his punch. So Sean Payton, all three phases, got it done.
Well, look, that's why it's a team. I thought we had a good week of practice. And there's something about that. There's something about the week in the locker room, even going through pregame. You know, I thought we took the crowd completely out of it. And generally, you have to deal with a lot louder place.
No question, it's a lot louder place. Teddy Bridgewater did a solid job. 19 of 27 for a 177, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. He made no mistakes, and that's exactly what the Saints needed. Peyton wisely. And you got to give the head coach a lot of credit. He had this team ready to go. He put the game on the shoulders and the legs of Alvin Kamara. Kamara rushed it 16 times for 69 yards and a touchdown. He added 9 catches for 91 yards and a score. So that's 25 touches, a 160, and 2 touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater described Alvin Kamara the best way he could.
Man, he's like a human joystick. You get him the ball, he's spinning, he's juking, he's bouncing off of guys. And as a quarterback, when you can throw him a screen and you watch him, just watch the play happen, it's like, man, you know, this guy, he's a bad man. And we're glad he's on our team. And, you know, he's one of those guys who's one of the leaders on offense.
CenturyLink Field's been a house of pain for the Saints. They hadn't won there since 2007. They had a lot of bad memories for Saints players, coaches, and fans. That pain all dissipated. A complete game effort. Sole possession of first place in the NFC South now belongs to the Saints. First victory for New Orleans without Drew Brees at quarterback since a 21-19 win on the road against the New York Jets, November 27, 2005. Aaron Brooks was the Saints' quarterback. So now, that long plane flight home had to be a nice one for that entire group who had spent 2 weeks, seems like, out there on the West Coast, or at least 2 games worth out on the West Coast. Now the Saints are back. They're back home. Next up, Sunday night, prime time, the Dallas Cowboys coming to town. Great week for the Tigers, the Cajuns, and the Saints. Here's what we have. It's our typical Monday lineup. Brooks Cabino will join us next. We'll talk about this record-setting offensive performance by the Tigers. Bob Rose of Canal Street Chronicles will come after Brooks, and we'll talk about the Saints. We'll close out hour number one. We'll begin hour number two with Hot Topics, followed by Nick Fontenot of The Advertiser. The Raging Cajuns on a roll. And then all things college football. Who's in worse shape? Arkansas? Tennessee? Michigan? Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated will join us. A busy Monday lineup. Glad you're with us. We'll be back talking Tigers with Brooks Cabina here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Are you looking for the latest updates on what is happening with the
Welcome back. Raging Cajuns with another authoritative win to improve to 3-1 after a third of the season under their belt. 45-25, a win over the Ohio Bobcats. They get it done on the ground yet again. And next weekend opens up their conference opener as they travel to Georgia Southern. Nick Fontenot of the Advertiser, kind enough to join us as he does each and every Monday. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Jordy, what's going on today, man?
I'm good, but I tell you what, it was a clean sweep, LSU, the Cajuns, and the Saints. Your thoughts on the Raging Cajuns? It looks like they're a team that says, okay, you know we want to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. It's up to you to stop us. And Elijah Mitchell gets a 148. Trey Ragos gets 129. And Ohio just couldn't do it.
I mean, that's the identity of the team. That's what everybody's been talking about all season. That's been the publicity of the team, is those three running backs they have in the backfield. And Elijah Mitchell was named Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Week today, and he deserved it. You know, he's had a heck of a career so far at UL, kind of hampered by injuries, and now he's really starting to come into his own and show what he's capable of. And then you got Trey Regis and Raymond Calais back there. You know, like Napier said at the press conference today, you know, it would kind of be impressive to see what would happen if they only had one of these guys. And one of those guys was just the featured back that got every carry, to see exactly what their stats would be, because each one of them is capable of starting for most programs in the country. I mean, these are three of the most talented guys you're ever going to see in a single backfield. And so, and they're showing it, and that's what they did against Ohio. You know, it was ball control offense. And that's basically what they've done in every game, is once they turn it over to the running backs, most defenses can't stop these guys, and they're able to spell each other. They're able to stay fresh. It's just pretty impressive to watch all three of these guys at the same time. And it's something that we might not ever see at UL again.
All right. Nick Fontenot joining us. Adversity, certainly. I mean, the Cajuns had a big 31-12 lead. Here comes Ohio. They're coming back. It's 31-25. They've got all the momentum in the world. The Cajuns are facing a huge 3rd and 3 from their own 32-yard line. And Regas responded, didn't he?
Yeah, he was able to pick that up. And that was impressive to see. You know, they haven't had a lot of adversity this year. I mean, that Mississippi State game, you know, where they got down early and they were able to come back, I guess you could call it that. But for the most part, the Liberty game was never in doubt. And, of course, the Texas Southern game was just something silly that is just not even barely football. So this game, you know, they were able to face that adversity. They played a really good Ohio team. And I thought they did a great job against the quarterback, Nathan Work. You know, he was very highly touted, and it was a guy that they were worried about. His running ability, his ability to throw the football was something that Billy Napier was really concerned about, and they did a fantastic job of not letting him be effective at all. He didn't complete too many passes, and so the defense really did their part. And you know, those running backs, like you said, you know, were able to pick up the first down and control the ball. So, you know, it's not the performance that I thought they were going to have. I thought they were going to struggle, maybe even pick up a loss, and they totally didn't do that. Picked up a big win. I mean, it's a win that really catapults your season to the next level. It becomes a win that can take you to maybe an 8 or a 9 win season and have a really impressive record at the end of it. So, you know, I just think it's one of those great wins for the season, and they'll be able to use that momentum going into the conference play.
Yeah, I think this might have been one of the more impressive wins of the Napier era. It's only into its second season, but I thought tremendous. And not only did you run the football, but you win the turnover battle 5-1. You intercept 3 passes, you recover 2 fumbles, you only give the ball up once, so you're a +4 in the turnover battle. And any coach in the world will tell you that's how you win games.
You're going to win a lot of football games if you do that. And it all started up front on the defensive line. And Napier even said that. He even alluded to it in the press conferences before the Ohio game. You know, takeaways are earned on the defensive line. And when you're able to affect the quarterback and make him uncomfortable in the pocket, he tends to make mistakes, whether it be overthrows or whether it be throws to the opponent. And that's exactly what happened. They were in work space all day long. He was never comfortable. He never had time to throw the ball. And he ended up making a bunch of mistakes and ended up getting turnovers. So, I mean, you can look at the statistics in every level of football. When you win a turnover battle, especially at that significant of a turnover battle, to be a +3, you're probably going to win the vast majority of your games, and that's what the Cajuns were doing. It was something they emphasized in the offseason they wanted to get better at, and they definitely improved with it showing on the field.
Well, now we get to conference play, and earlier today, Billy Napier talked about how much he's looking forward to getting into the Sun Belt battles. Listen up.
You know, we're excited about turning the page to conference play. And we've got our hands full with another really well-coached football team. A lot of respect to Chad and what he's done there. You know, they work well together as a team. A lot of team speed, a lot of athleticism, and some explosive players on the offense that can make them very difficult to defend. And we certainly know that starts with their quarterback.
People in this part of the world saw them when they came to Baton Rouge to play LSU. LSU put up a double nickel on them, and they really stymied. Look, the key to playing Georgia Southern, Nick, you know this, you get ahead of them, you make them get away from running that triple option, and the game's over.
Right, that was some of that, of course, LSU was able to do with ease. And, you know, I think the Cajuns will be able to have success as well. Maybe not as easy as LSU had for Georgia Southern, but they'll be able to get ahead and do exactly what you said, get away from running that triple option. The thing about the triple option is that it gets you out of your routines. If your normal defenses is not the same. You have to be really disciplined to not fall victim to some of the things they're trying to do with that triple option. And so it's good that they're able to play this game as their first conference game, kind of get it out of the way, because it's kind of different than all the rest of the conference games. Get it out of the way, hopefully get out of there with a W, and you can get back into your more routine defenses and more better planning for the rest of the conference season.
And, Nick, the other thing that was impressive to me, and not only you called it a season changer to get you to 8, maybe 9 wins, something like that, they proved they could win on the road. That hasn't always been an easy thing. They went into a hostile environment. They proved they can win on the road. Now they have another road game to go to against a team that they're more familiar with, so that builds confidence as well.
And that Ohio team, you know, they're 1-3 on the season, but, I mean, if you know anything about that program and Frank Solis and what he's doing there, they're better than that record. They're struggling right now. They're going to be a little bit better than that. And so, like you said, they did go into that hostile environment, played against a really good Ohio program, and picked up a win. So it's one of those things where they went on the road. It was a true road game, a true travel game, and they were able to get the win. Now they're going to go to Georgia Southern with the experience from last week, hopefully be able to revert back to some of those things they learned this week and do well in the game against Georgia Southern. So, yeah, there's only positives can be taken away from the game last Saturday.
Nick, thanks so much. 45-25, the final score, the Cajun 3-1. It's good to be a Cajun fan. We always appreciate you on a Monday. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll see if we can get to 4-1 on the year. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Jordy. Thanks for having me.
That Georgia Southern kickoff, 5 p.m., so be ready for that. Cajun Nation, giddy up. Let's go. We'll take a timeout here. Don't forget, because we are the station that keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. And we've got another giveaway for you because it's so simple. It is so easy. It's the Prejean's $50 gift certificate giveaway. Just enter to win the $50 gift certificate to Prejean's in 103.7 The Game's clubhouse. Go to 103.7thegame.com. Very simple. And who doesn't want to eat good food at Prejean? I mean, great food at Prejean, right? All right, we'll talk about the rest of college football. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, next.
Sponsored by JFSR Group.
Hey, sports fans, this is world champion handicapper Mike North with your live.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, time to talk all things college football with Ross Dellinger, the great writer for Sports Illustrated. Before we get to Ross, all you LSU fans that are complaining about an 11 o'clock start against Utah State, did you know that over the last 15 years, LSU football is 11-0 in 11 a.m. start times, home and away, 11-0. So get it done early, get it over with. And then we got some big games to play. Ross, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good, Jordy. How you doing?
I'm terrific. You were in Athens, Georgia, the last time we talked. You told us that. Seemed to be a pretty cool environment. I get, after the game, more people are more impressed with Notre Dame in a loss than they were with Georgia in a win. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, that's kind of how it feels, you know. It was an incredible environment over there, just about as good as I've ever seen for college football. Very similar to something like that happens in Tiger Stadium, you know, when LSU and Alabama meet. It was loud and incredible. And I do think after, you know, if somebody had watched that game, they you know, there are a lot of people not expecting it to be very close. And honestly, I was kind of one of them. I didn't necessarily expect to be a real close game, and it came down to the wire. And I think that says a lot about Notre Dame and defensively Notre Dame. And so I came away feeling like Notre Dame, again, especially defensively, has a real good shot to win a lot of games this year, you know. But I also came away with it thinking, you know, Georgia, I think, played or felt like they played a little conservative offensively. I think when they spread it out and when they did went up tempo, they really had a lot of success and they moved down the field pretty well. But they didn't do that maybe enough. And maybe that was part of the game plan. You know, it was a very, you know, I know Nick Saban has changed a lot and evolved his offense, and they're going fast now and doing all that stuff. But I think it was a lot of the old Nick Saban type teams. I mean, from like, you know, way back to 2012 or 2014, where they just like played pretty conservative, ran the ball a lot, played really, really, really good defense, and then just grinded out the win. That's kind of what it felt like. But I think if Georgia goes fast and spreads it out, they can score some points. But at the same time, as LSU fans are experiencing and seeing, that has a negative byproduct on your defense. And so it's kind of whatever Georgia kind of wants to do, they can kind of do. I think in a lot of ways they let Notre Dame hang around a little bit. But it does say something about Notre Dame and their defense for sure.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. What's more impressive to you, the statement that Wisconsin made at home over Michigan or the statement that Auburn made on the road at Texas A&M?
Well, you know, for me it would be Auburn, only because I expected A&M to win that game, and I expected Wisconsin to win that game. So I was expecting Auburn to lose on the road to A&M, honestly. And what happened in Madison is not something the result, a Wisconsin win, was not something that surprised me. How they got there in a blowout fashion did surprise me. But I do think the Auburn win was pretty incredible. Going on the road against a team that, you know, probably is going to win eight plus games this year, I would say, or especially after a bowl game, they should get to that point. That was a big one, and that, you know, kind of told me a lot about Auburn's defense. They're the real deal. I think for most of the game, they A&M had about 13 points, and were kept under, I believe, 300 yards. I mean, they're very impressive, and I think Auburn's a real challenger. What Auburn doesn't have is a playmaking quarterback, and that's probably going to come back to haunt them at some point.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. All right, you're a football fan. You can only pick one place that you have to sit through the entire season. Out of these three, who you picking? Michigan, Tennessee, Arkansas.
Oh, goodness. I have to sit through and watch every game of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, you gotta watch them. Yes,
yeah,
you gotta be like that commercial. This is our team, no matter what.
Yeah, you know, Tennessee would be the last on the list. You know, I didn't get to watch a ton of the game against Florida, but just reading some things. Oh my goodness, sounds like a complete train wreck over there. You know, I'd probably say Michigan. I guess maybe they turn it around. You know, they have. I think they've got a chance to maybe start to turn it around a little bit. And I think we're going to see Wisconsin. Maybe they're really good. Maybe they'll make the playoff this year. I don't know. They had to play Ohio State probably twice, I believe. So that'll be interesting. But, yeah, maybe Wisconsin's better than we all thought. But, yeah, Tennessee would be last on that. I don't want to watch any more of Tennessee. And in Arkansas, I haven't watched any of Arkansas, but when you see that result, loss to San Jose State, I would imagine things, it's not real pretty watching them. And there's for sure some unrest up there. You know, Chad Morris is just 15 games in or so, 16 games into his tenure, but not starting well.
Not starting well at all. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. Starting well is LSU. I mean, I know you were in Athens, but maybe you got the chance to catch some of it early on because of the early start. But the numbers that they keep putting up, it's just they lead the country in just about everything or close to everything there is offensively. And Joe Burrow just keeps setting record after record after record. It's Joe Brady's 30th birthday today. They've got to be working behind the closed doors and working on a contract for this guy to open up the vault to keep him.
Yeah, I don't think they're letting, without a fight, I don't think they're letting Joe Brady go. You know, he's going to be somebody they try to keep in every way, I believe. So that's, I'm sure that's happening or going to happen. But it is incredible what LSU has been doing. You know, in Vanderbilt, it is Vanderbilt, but they've got a coach over there, Derek Mason, who's just about as respected in the industry as any defensive coach that there is. And he couldn't draw much up to slow them down. Even he couldn't. So it is incredible and I did watch. I watched most of the first half. And it was just, yeah, we're just picking them apart. You know, it almost looks like out there that they're in some kind of 7-on-7 game. And it's just against a lower, against a high school team or something, you know. You know, we're talking about Joe Brady a lot, and we've obviously talked about Joe Burrow a lot. They're kind of getting all the love. But, man, I'm not sure there is a more talented receiver in the nation than Ja'Marr Chase.
Wow. Wow. That says a lot. Ross Dellinger, kind enough to join us. You did a really nice piece in Sports Illustrated. I highly recommend people going and seeing it. A quarter of the season's done. Four games are in. And the article was about if the season ended today, who would be the four teams in the playoff? Who would be the contenders for the Heisman Trophy and so forth and so on? And I got to believe that LSU is in the mix in some of these awards that you gave out.
Yeah, I broke it down into four categories. You know, 4 weeks into the season, who are the four CFP teams? You know, if the season ended today, who would be the four CFP teams? Who would be the four finalists for the Broyles Award that's given to the best assistant coach in the nation? You know, who would be the four random ESPY award winners for like things like best game and best moment? And then I did another group of four that is now escaping me. Heisman. Yeah, Heisman finalists. Four Heisman finalists. So Heisman. LSU was included in every single category. Yeah, they had they're obviously one of the CFP teams. I think if it ended today, I have them as the four seed. Joe Burrow is one of the four Heisman finalists for sure. And one of the four Broyles Award finalists is Joe Brady. And then one of the ESPY winners, I picked best game of the season so far. And I think the best game was LSU-Texas. You know, it just when you combine the stakes and the atmosphere and the kind of game it was. So, yeah, they were included. The Tigers were included in kind of each of my each of those categories.
Awesome. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. How do you throw 9 touchdown passes and still lose a game? That's what happened. UCLA had this incredible comeback and beats Mike Leach's Wazoos from Washington State. 9 touchdown passes and you can't celebrate. That's crazy.
It really is. I was listening to that game. The game ended at 2:30 Eastern time. And so I was in a car driving from Athens back to Atlanta, and I was listening to it on the radio just in complete disbelief because, any team to do what they did, being down 49-17 late in the third quarter to come back to win is insane. But for UCLA to be the team to do it, they didn't even score 49 points, I don't think, in their first, like, 3 games combined of the season. I mean, you know, and everybody was on Chip Kelly hard, and just it was a huge disappointment and all that. Starting 0-3, and last year, I think they were 3-9 or something. I mean, it's just been a rough few, 15 games. And for them to be the one to do this is insane. And just stunning, and to do it on the road, really crazy. And who knows, maybe this lights a fire in the team or something, and maybe they get on some kind of crazy roll. You know, I don't know. And I haven't read much in the last day about them, but I don't know if he changed something during that game. I'd love to see more written about what the heck happened, because it was crazy. Maybe it's just a product of playing Washington State's defense, because they've obviously had trouble in the past. But through 2.5 quarters, you know, UCLA had 17 points, and then they scored like 40 in the last like 17 minutes of the game, which is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. The other coach in that state, two beleaguered coaches, I mean, Chip Kelly, not so good. They can't get rid of Clay Helton. He keeps surprising people, and the Southern Cal Trojans beat Utah. How about that?
Yeah, I actually picked USC to win, but I just never was a believer in Utah, and that's not nothing against Utah. Kyle Whittingham has a great program and all. I just wasn't ever a believer that they were a CFP team. Offensively, I just always had concerns over them. And he's a lot, honestly, Jordy, they're a lot like when Les was at LSU. They always have a great defense, you know, and they always seem to struggle offensively. Yeah. And, you know, they rely so heavily on kind of running the ball and just their defense and making plays. But that was a huge win for Clay. And it says a lot about, USC's offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell. And he was, I think, in a way, he finished just outside of my four finalists for the Broyles, did Graham Harrell, because he's on his third different quarterback. And it's just incredible what they've done. Yes. They're 3-1, and they're putting up 30-plus points a game.
Oh, I'm so sad. I guess we're not going to have to hear about Central Florida anymore. Doggone it, Pittsburgh went and beat them and spoiled the party. Darn.
They sure did, yeah. 27, I think it was 27 straight regular season games. Win streak, you know, the only loss in the 28, last 28 for them was, of course, LSU in the Fiesta Bowl. So,
yeah.
No, I don't think we're hearing too much more from Athletic Director Danny White over there. You know, Danny is quite the quote for media members. He supplies us with a lot of content, but when you get beat, and that's a little surprising, you know, that they were able to do that. And you got to wonder, maybe is Pitt better than we all think? They kept it close with Penn State. Pat Narduzzi made that honestly, without being too mean, you know, one of the more boneheaded calls of this year on the 1 yard line against Penn State, not kicking a field goal. So, but we won't be hearing too much from USC, UCF as much as we have.
Shucks. Where does Ross Travels take him this time?
Well, actually, speaking of Penn State, you know, they play Friday night at Maryland, which is like a 25-30 minute metro ride from my home. So I'll be going Friday to go to that one. Penn State's defense is pretty salty, so I'd imagine they'll win that game. But I think it could be pretty close. They're bringing in extra bleachers at Maryland Stadium. They're, you know, packing it in. The last time they played there, they upset Syracuse. Of course, they went on the road and lost to Temple, so that kind of put a little damper on things. But it'll be a chance for me to see Penn State. And then Saturday, I'm just home. I'm coming back home, and I'll be watching all the games from the living room.
Do me a favor and take a picture of that Maryland helmet. I still can't fathom what it is, but take a panoramic picture of that thing. It's got more stuff on it than the law allows, but all right, well, good. So it's a quick metro ride, and then you're back home. Good for you. So enjoy. And LSU, well, I'll tell you what. Everybody keeps talking about Bama, but LSU-Florida, LSU-Auburn, there's some big games ahead for them. So hopefully they'll get rested, get healthy, and press on. But thank you for your time, Ross, as always, buddy.
All right, Jordy. See you.
Sports Illustrated, must follow Ross Dellinger. Clemson number one, Alabama number two, Georgia number three, LSU number four in the AP poll. So, a lot of fish to fry. We'll be back to wrap it up. It was interesting day in history that we will reveal, plus some birthday wishes. Stay with us.
This is Paul Manier.
Metamucil every day for 14 days. It's really that easy. Metamucil traps and removes the waste that weighs you down, so you feel lighter and more energetic. Now I never want to go back to that heavy feeling. Are you ready for the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge? For a coupon and daily support, sign up at Metamucil.com today. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, not for sale to minors. Website restricted to adults 21 and over.
Let's be real. Most smokers aren't looking for some overcomplicated vaping machine. That's why we created My Blue. My Blue is simple. Our pre-filled liquid pods mean there's no mess. One charge and My Blue lasts all day. And with our range of flavors and nicotine options, you have a choice. My Blue answers on what matters for smokers: real nicotine satisfaction. And right now, try My Blue for $1 at select retailers or myblue.com.
Locally owned businesses build strong communities by sustaining vibrant town centers and contributing to local causes. Do your business with these certified South Louisiana businesses.
For over 25 years, Acadiana has trusted Dr. Patrick McGee Eye Health Care and Quality Eyewear. We accept all insurances, including Medicaid, for both children and adults. Call 234-EYES or 984-2020.
And as Dr. Clearsight would say, y'all come see.
At Silver's Casino, the silver stays in your hands. Experience exciting gaming action right here in Brobridge. Play the newest video poker games with $1,000 payouts and the best service. Silver's Casino, north of I-10 at exit 109 in Brobridge.
This is Joel Frugier from Acadiana Prescription Shop, inviting you to experience the service and confidence of getting your prescription filled by people who know you and your healthcare needs. Our service is fast and always friendly.
Acadiana Prescription Shop, next to Champagne's in Lafayette's Oil Center.
Shop local. Shop certified South Louisiana.
At Cajun Chef, we only use the finest products, like our pickled okra and spicy pickled green beans seasoned with our special Cajun flavor. It's so great for that special Bloody Mary. For you pepper lovers, Cajun Chef has the right kind of jalapeno peppers with just the right amount of spiciness, and it's excellent to pair with some nachos. A little dab of their signature hot sauce can make any meal amazing. Why not try Cajun Chef? When you do, you'll agree Cajun Chef is not just deliciously different, it's decidedly better. Cajun Chef.
All the best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, 53 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Atlanta Falcons. We appreciate you. Thank you, Bruce Arians, for calling, taking a delay of game penalty, 5 yards, and your field goal kicker missed. So the Giants beat the Bucks. Thank you very much. So the Saints back on top in the NFC South. Good day for Tre'Davious White of the Buffalo Bills, the former Tiger had two interceptions on the day, including the one that sealed the win. Tyrann Mathieu had 4 tackles, 2 solos, 3 passes defended, 1 blocked pass, as the Chiefs were winners. Danielle Hunter had a sack, a quarterback hurry, 1 tackle for loss as Vikings beat the Raiders. Jamal Adams in a loss had an interception. Returned 61 yards for a touchdown. The Patriots, though, beat his Jets 30-14. The Jets are just woeful. Dante Jackson of the Carolina Panthers, 2 interceptions, 2 passes defended, 5 tackles, all solos with 1 tackle for a loss. Eric Reed had 6 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, a sack, and a quarterback hurry. And Trey Turner started at right guard, played 81% of the snaps for the Carolina Panthers. Patrick Peterson is still suspended. He can't do anything. So pretty good day for the Tigers in the NFL, including Will Clapp, who made some plays. All right, let's go to our daily history lesson as we close things up today. And this is brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge for all your travel needs. DC's Little Capital Exxon is the place to go. September 23rd, the year 2000, 19 years ago today, we all went to the movie theater. At least I did. Went to the movie theaters and saw Remember the Titans. What a movie. What a lesson. What a it was just great. It's still one of those shows that I've got to watch to this day. Whenever I see it, I watch it. So Remember the Titans on this day, September 23rd, the year was 2000. All right, if today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Line coach Jeff Grimes celebrating a birthday today. Wide receiver DJ Chark catching touchdown passes, celebrating a birthday today. And happy 30th birthday to Joe Brady. He and Steve Ensminger are working like clockwork. So happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you. If it's your anniversary, happy, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Thanks to our Monday crew, Brooks Cabina of The Advocate, talking LSU, Bob Rose, Canal Street Chronicles, talking Saints, Nick Fontenot, The Advertiser, talking the Raging Cajuns, what three teams on a roll, and Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated talking about all things college football. Tomorrow, more on Georgia Southern, more on the Saints. Basketball practice is opening up on Friday. Lots to talk about. So come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m. Same great station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible. Thanks to my producer extraordinaire, CD. I'm Jordy Helfberg. Until tomorrow, stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. Have a great one.